You are listening to a sermon by Justin Sun, recorded on Sunday, June 16, 2024, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Good morning, everyone. It is so good to be here. Thank you for having me. As stated, I am Justin. I am a pastor at Peace Man. I'm not used to having a pulpit. Side note, this is really interesting. It's my first time ever with you. Thank you for having me deep down from the bottom of my heart. Normally, I like to begin with like intro and banter, but considering I am very long-winded, and we are in the book of Deuteronomy, and this is supposed to be under 15 minutes, I will just dive right in. So to begin today, I have two questions. First one, who here has actually read through the book of Deuteronomy start to cover? Can I see a quick show of hands? It's not to shame anyone who has not. I avoided this book the best I could until college. And even then, my first read through was just a skim, but that's a pretty good number, I think. The number who raised their hand in here. I was just curious, since this book is not exactly a Sermon on the Mount or anything like that, that we often like to read. It's pretty heavy, pretty dense, but whether you have or have not read it, it's all good for day. I was just curious. Second question then, who here has thought through, and I mean really thought through, what it means to you to be an Anabaptist or a Mennonite, or at least why you attend an Anabaptist Mennonite church? Okay, thank you. Might sound a little common or obvious for some, especially those who grew up in a space where those words had ethno-cultural connotations on top of the theological ones. But for those who have not thought it through too much or just happen to be here today, maybe it's something that you haven't considered too deeply before. So take a second to think. What does it mean to you to be an Anabaptist or Mennonite, or to attend a Mennonite church? For me, these two opening questions are related, and they'll form the core of my sharing this morning. So with that, I want to open today by saying the comedy of me sharing with you this morning is not lost on me. And what I mean by that is, if you knew me at birth or when I was 5 or 10 or 20, absolutely nothing about any of that would have indicated to you at any point that I would ever in a million years end up here today. Here with you, sharing about my journey, tying Deuteronomy and Anabaptism, June of 2024. It is simply hilarious to me how I stumbled my way in life from one place to the next, from one circumstance to another, with the help of, among other things, Google, a multi-level marketing scheme, and a hockey rivalry to stand in front of you today to share. If you told 18-year-old me, first year at University of Alberta, that one day I would be here, I would be very confused. What's a Mennonite? Is that like an Amish person? That's what I would have asked. Seriously. But my friends, studying a book like Deuteronomy helps me realize that in life, sometimes it is precisely out of the oddity, the obscurity, and maybe the hilarity that we realize, gee, everything in life seems like an accident sometimes, it's very random. But really, if we pay attention, we can see actually, it's not that random at all. Life is actually incredibly poetic and intentional when we see the meaning in the chaos and when we hear the music in the fabric of our stories. Let me explain how. So we took a 1,000-foot overview of life on Earth, okay? And we had the book of Deuteronomy on one hand, the history of the world on the other. I think we realize this book is actually a microcosm of that truth, that life is both seemingly very obscure and random and simultaneously absolutely not. Just consider how vast and grand is the story of human history. from nation to nation, from continent to continent, from the microscopic bacteria and viruses to Mount Everest and the Pacific and every person and thing in between in the thousands of years we've been on this little blue dot. Why is it then, with all that vastness, that a tiny little nation in history, sandwiched in between the earth-shattering legacies of empires like Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, why should ancient Israel be the one to claim that they are the people of the one creator, God? This claim is a huge claim when you consider it this way, that God of humble Israel happens to be the one God whose rule is ultimate. If aliens visited our planet and they looked at all human history, they'd probably be a little bit confused. Why would ancient Israel, so undistinguished, be able to claim its place among the nations of the earth? From a purely historical perspective, ancient Israel was just a blip on the world stage, but it's not for Marduk or Zeus or Ra that we gather here today. No, it is for the God of Israel, whose story we as Christians believe we're grafted into through Jesus. When I consider it like this, the deep intentionality and the extraordinary claim within the kind of seeming haphazardness and chance, it helps me think about my own life, especially then when I zoom into a text like the one we're in today. Make no mistake, Deuteronomy 7 is not easy. Those with keen eyes may have already noticed I picked and I'm focusing on a very specific portion of Deuteronomy today, which, when considering wider things, probably opens me up to critique or cherry picking, especially around, if you read even just the verses before, all that violence around it. All that is certainly unpacking and questioning, but for today, because we don't have time for that, I just want to focus on one area. And it's back to what I opened with, the intersection of Anabaptism, of Deuteronomy, in my life. So let me give you a bit more of my journey. Hopefully that will help you consider yours. Now, as I said earlier, nothing about my life would have indicated at any point earlier in my life that I would be where I am today, a pastor at a Mennonite church. And though a surface level consideration of my life would agree that it's really random that I got here, further reflection in light of Deuteronomy might beg otherwise. You see, when I first wound up arriving at my undergrad at a Mennonite college, it really was not for any reason other than I wanted to leave my beloved hometown. At that point in my life, I just needed a fresh start. I was wandering and I wanted to do something new, so I did. And at that point, I had no clue what Anabaptism was. I had never met a Mennonite, to my knowledge. I didn't know anything about the Radical Reformation, but in 2016, I was like, I need a new beginning in life. So I Googled colleges and applied for one in a place that I literally knew nobody and had never been to. When I got accepted, I just said, sure. Looking back now, conventional wisdom would probably say I probably should have put a little bit more thought into that before I packed up and left oil country. But lo and behold, in the 4 years of my undergrad, I discovered, in conjunction with many world events, with the help of a community of loving radicals, much more than a degree or a change of address. In fact, I came into what felt like a faith that was truly my own for the first time in my life. And by my own, I recognize there's a contradiction in that, because it really was not my own at all. It wasn't just an individual enlightenment. My ownership was actually a welcoming into and an embrace of historic tradition and a wider community through professors like David Workington, Jerry Pauls, MCBC's very own Jesse Nichol and Gareth Brandt, many, many more. Through them, I discovered in the tradition we now know as Anabaptism or Mennonites, a faith that not only echoed and fell into line with what I really came to believe as right at the core of Jesus' life and teaching, but a life, or for the faith, that spoke powerfully now into the world I was awakening into as a young adult in the 21st century. We've got nationalism, church and state, peace and justice, anti-violence, colonialism, clericalism, simplicity, creation care, inclusion, all these things washed over me like a wave in college as I discovered, whoa, these topics are hinted at all throughout the Bible in their own ancient way. And whoa, the radical reformers of 16th century Europe wrestled with it in their way too for their time and place. And guess what? These things are still very much alive. So what does my faith have to do with it? What does it mean to be in this world and know these things? It all came to me powerfully in something old and new in my first foray into Anabaptism. Where this intersects with this text this morning then, and as I near a close, is the idea that I think comes out really clearly in our verses in Deuteronomy this morning. And it's this: that God, out of covenantal love and faithfulness, gathers people out of obscurity and seeming randomness, not out of greatness, but out of insignificance, to bless the whole world, to speak into its struggles for the flourishing of all. Inherent in this is a paradox. On one hand, we have chosenness, or election, if we want to use that word, a scandalous idea that God chooses people. But on the other hand, the necessary expansiveness of that chosenness. In other words, what underlies God's choosing of the obscure and the making of a people is nothing less than a heart for all people. In Genesis 12, God says to Abraham, "I choose you, and through you, all peoples of the earth will be blessed." In Deuteronomy, we see this working itself out as Abraham's descendants before the promised land. They're looking back at the faithfulness shown definitively through the Exodus, now on the cusp of their next step as a people to bless the whole world. Likewise, 5 centuries ago, amid another chapter in the peoplehood of God, the radical reformers, the first Anabaptists, also asked this question for their time and place. They're like, what does it actually mean and look like to be the people of God, to be chosen? Will it be defined by a sword? Will it be defined by my birthplace, my lineage, my state, the princes and the priests? Or will it be defined by those God has called out in love and in faithfulness, who apparently and seemingly random choose to return that love and faithfulness back? You see, my friends, every generation, this story, these questions are played out anew. Who are the people of God? How are they being gathered? And how is their living out of that gathering, their peoplehood, demonstrative of God's heart for all? You see it in Deuteronomy, you see it in the Gospels, you see it in the book of Acts, you see it through church history. In my life, I have experienced that call out of obscurity and randomness towards peoplehood within the Anabaptist Mennonite Church, and it has meant everything to me. But I say that recognizing there are many Christian traditions and paths worth exploring, so I turn it over to you. How about you? Where are you experiencing the call of God now, and how? You're here today at Point Grey Intermennonite, but you could be at any other 100 churches across the Vancouver area. If you are here, that must mean something to you. So what does it mean? About 500 years ago, they say that the radical reformers got rebaptized. That's what Anabaptism means, rebaptized. It was pejorative, but it was something that we have come to embrace. With reformation, with rebaptism, with response, whatever it means for you in your future, I hope that you will remember that our God is faithful and loving to 1,000 generations. And the question is, will you respond in kind? It's a question I hope you'll carry with you into your everyday places, as you are a community walking in the Jesus way. Thank you.